The Reserve Bank is sticking to its commitment not to start raising interest rates until the economy recovers and inflation is back in its 2 to 3% target band. But with signs of rising inflation around the world, particularly in the US and Britain, is the Reserve Bank of Australia's pledge about to be tested? Peter Ryan is the ABC's senior business correspondent. Peter, hello there.
Good morning to you, Fran.
We'll be getting the latest official inflation numbers latest this week. How closely will people be watching that?
Well, Fran, I'd say very keenly watched, probably much more than the usual scrutiny, especially when you consider supply chain blockages around the world and surging energy prices, especially in Britain as the global economy cranks up from the downturn. And for various reasons, there's not enough oil to fuel the recovery. And now rumblings at major central banks like the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England are softening up businesses and consumers for gentle rate rises. We'll get the local picture here on Wednesday with the September quarter inflation reading. Economists are tipping inflation to have risen by 0.8% in the quarter, with annual inflation of 3.1%. Sounds higher, but it's still lower than the last annual reading where prices rose by 3.8%. That was the fastest pace in 13 years. As you mentioned there, Fran, the Reserve Bank has that target band of 2 to 3%. And while inflation for now is at the upper limit, this could well be temporary because of the one-offs from the recovery and COVID-related bottlenecks around the world forcing prices higher. But could it hang around longer than expected? That's the big question.
Where will we see these price rises that are feeding into that that might be enough to make the Reserve Bank think again about its pledge to hold rates to, well, let's face it, near zero until 2024?
Well, Fran, I think most notably we would have seen much higher petrol prices recently because of those surging global oil prices, but also price gains for alcohol. Anecdotal evidence in my house anyway of more wine consumption during COVID, food because of border restrictions, higher clothing prices. As you mentioned, the RBA is adamant that rates won't be moving from that record low of 0.1% until 2024 when they see inflation as sustained in that target band. But of course, that's critical for anyone leveraged up big time with loans to buy into the hot housing market in parts of Australia. But economists have split Westpac and the CBA see earlier than expected rate rises in the first half of 2023. EY chief economist Joe Masters thinks higher inflation will probably be transitory, but she agrees the Reserve Bank might be feeling the pressure to raise rates ahead of schedule, which could complicate its strategy of sitting tight for now.
We're still seeing the COVID-19 pandemic impact the numbers through things like the home builder subsidy starting to wind down, for example, but also indirectly through things like this supply disruption that is starting to impact the cost of bringing in a lot of consumer goods in particular into Australia, and also fuel prices, of course.
Do you see the inflation pressures as being transitory, which is a term we've been hearing a lot about recently?
My personal view is that the supply chain disruption aspect of inflation will prove to be transitory. Problem is, we don't know how long transitory is. Then I guess you've got the issue around, will we see wage growth, which is still the biggest determinant of core inflation pressures or sustained inflation pressures.
Global central banks like the US Federal Reserve and also the Bank of England are sending pretty strong signals that they're getting a bit edgy about inflation. Do you expect to see rates rising ahead of schedule in 2022?
We are seeing other central banks, and of course, New Zealand's another example of that, and they had another upside surprise on their inflation a couple of weeks ago. I think for the Reserve Bank of Australia, though, we are likely to be one of the laggards in the tightening cycle, and I suspect that there's little pressure around that.
Do you think that the Reserve Bank's commitment to keep rates on hold until 2024 is going to be tested over the next year?
I think it will be tested. I think the risk is that we have to get some sort of tightening before that. I guess now that we've entered unconventional policy, there's a variety of levers that you can use to tighten overall monetary conditions. And of course, we are tapering the bond buying program. But I think there could be more of a risk that you have to bring forward that tightening. And that's what we're seeing offshore, of course.
That's Joe Masters, Chief Economist at EY. Peter, house prices, particularly those in Sydney, continue to climb at, in some places, stratospheric rates, and interest rates, of course, feed into that. But does real estate factor into inflation?
Well, Freya, not directly. The Consumer Price Index doesn't include house price growth as such. Otherwise, of course, it would be off the charts. Instead, that measures a basket of consumer goods that households use that go into a house, food, furnishings, petrol, alcohol, tobacco, transportation. Of course, on the one hand, rising house prices mean a lot of people sitting on the family home have accumulated a lot of on-paper wealth, and of course, they feel wealthier. So consumer price rises don't feel as significant, while renters and people struggling to get into real estate really feel it. Of course, in the real world, it is impossible to ignore real estate after another bumper weekend, especially in Sydney, now that on-site auctions are back with restrictions lifted and buyers are flocking back. I joined a son's friend at an auction on Sydney's northern beaches at the weekend where the selling price went well above the opening bid of $2.2 million, selling eventually for $2.7 million. And on that property, the stamp duty alone would have been $130,000. And of course, these days, because of high prices, sellers are accepting a 5% deposit rather than the normal 10% because of the sky-high prices. And there's some solutions around. The New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, advocated dumping stamp duty in favour of an annual land tax. The New South Wales Planning Minister's talking about the possibility of that 50% discount on capital gains for properties held over 12 months. He's concerned that this is encouraging speculators to purchase investment homes rather than opening up the market for first home buyers. So regardless of that action, we're hoping that we'll see a stabilisation rather than more flooding onto the market.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Saul Eslake a little later about some of these ideas for trying to curb house prices. Just briefly, what else can we expect this week, Pete?
Well, Fran, we'll be seeing the Australian share market opening 0.4 of 1% higher later on this morning. A bit of a watch on any of that additional economic information coming out in addition to inflation, and the Australian dollar lower at 74.6 US cents.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Ryan is the ABC Senior Business Correspondent.